I'm continuing in the series on Out of the Mire. Everybody's always asking me questions. How do you get out of the system? And most people aren't really ready. They don't understand the system. Of course, we've got books that explain the system, and with hundreds of footnotes, and you don't even have to buy them. You can just go online and get them at our website for free. And the reason we're explaining how them works is to see our error in falling for the bait of the system. The greatest destroyers of freedom are the granters of gifts, gratuities, and benefits. And so that's how, you know, the Bible tells us that over and over again, Old Testament, New Testament, through covetousness, you know, desiring those benefits that come to you from benefactors who exercise authority. That's how we fall prey to these Babylonic systems that end up forcing us to, you know, take vaccinations when we don't want them. They take our children away if we don't educate them the way they want them educated. I've seen over and over again how people have had their children taken away, and usually they make some sort of mistake or they're in a vulnerable position. The family has already broken up. With that, they take over the people's lives. Or they end up in divorce court or in family court, and someone raises havoc with their life. And nobody comes to their aid, but of course, most of their life, they were never coming to the aid of anybody either. And that's because it's taken almost 200 years, at least the last 100 years, to cultivate a society that when somebody's being raped or robbed, all they can think of is pulling out their cell phones and taking pictures. Very few people get involved. And, I've mentioned the videos that these young guys are making in Sweden where they made it appear as if someone was being raped in a car and attacked, brutalized, a girl, and they had, you know, recordings in there and everything, and they were shaking the car, and the windows were fogged up, and everybody just ran by, one after another. That's staggering to think that people would do that. I mean, they could call for help. They could dial on their cell phones, but they didn't do it because people have lost the secret of a free society. They have sold their free society for a bag full of benefits. And eventually those benefits will run out and fail, and the governments that have promised them those benefits will fail them. And what will probably happen is they will invite millions upon millions of people into their country that will overwhelm them. Many of them will be raping and murdering and robbing and everything else. And they will destroy their culture, and they will be gone from the face of the earth. Of course, now their culture is really already destroyed through apathy, through socialism, that has degenerated a nation that once, you know, were the, you know, the a mighty people who no one would dare invade, no one would dare attack, because they cared about each other. They had to care about each other. They were in difficult life. Teutons, the Saxons, the Jutes, the Issaks, all these people were in parts of the world that life was a little difficult. And because of that, they had to come together. But they've lost that. They don't need that anymore. They have the government to take care of them. And it has weakened them. In a time of affluence, they have been weakened as a people. Now, I just saw an article this morning where young men are gathering together and starting some group, the Sons of Thor. And, of course, Thor is actually taking from the ancient language destroyer of trolls is what it means. You know, that's kind of, you know, that's a loose translation of what the word means. And so they're gathering together, but the, you know, I don't know all of the groups. I'm sure they're not a homogeneous group, but this is how the Nazis got started. And is that they saw abuse, they saw, you know, communists, and so they were fighting against that, but they themselves were democratic socialists. If you don't get rid of the idea of coveting your neighbor's goods through the benefactors who exercise authority, you will not be free. Your nation will not be free. Even if you get active, you will not be free. You will go into destruction. Just the same as Nazi Germany went into destruction. You know, because they, if they get powerful, if they actually overthrow the enemy that's coming in, they themselves will become the enemy. And, you know, in the book Thy Kingdom Comes, we give the example of Hermann the German, who was, he was actually an exchange student for the with the Roman Empire. And he learned the ways of Rome. He learned the military tactics of Rome. And then when Rome was marching on the Teutons, he went ahead and organized them quickly. And he could do that because they were already organized in the tens, hundreds, and thousands, which was the most common numerical systematic form of free governments. And they quickly, 12,000 Teutons, routed and destroyed, devastated to the man, a 15,000 army, you know, disciplined army of the Roman Empire, because of the fact that they could organize themselves overnight. I mean, the Romans were already marching there, and they had very little time to prepare, but because they had a little bit of warning and they prepared, and because of what they had already been and the way they had lived for hundreds of years, they were able to muster an organized force that charged against the Romans and devastated them. The next time the Romans came, they were better prepared, but the Teutons made a mistake. Instead of simply a defensive campaign to protect their families and their freedoms, they decided to take a spoil. They wanted to not just drive the Romans away and into the bogs and to all these places. They knew that when they did that, they lost a great deal of the fortune that goes along with an army of the Roman Empire. And so Hermann the German, I'm calling him Hermann the German, Hermann anyway, planned a battle tactic so that he could get that spoil. He wanted that wealth. He didn't just want to defend his country. And so they lost a great many of their own forces because of the tactics that he used, which were not not taking into consideration the life and well-being of his people, but the wealth that he would get. And then, of course, then he did get much of that wealth because they did win again, but then he began to distribute that wealth to those who would be loyal to him, and then he tried to set himself up as the Emperor of Germany. And eventually his own family rose up and defeated him, killing him, putting his head on a pike, and said it wasn't that we did not want a Roman emperor to rule over us. We didn't want any emperor to rule over us. They were a free people. And they weren't without faults, but they were hardworking. Divorce was almost non-existent. Alcoholism was almost non-existent. Unemployment was completely non-existent. Families stuck together. People stuck together. They had a sense of honor, but they had no place in their society for socialism. No, that socialism is that desire to take a spoil. And see, that's one of the things that Hermann the German had picked up as an exchange student living in Rome, that he began to think of this idea of accumulating wealth and then you would be rich. While the German normally thought accumulating honor amongst honorable men made you rich. Different idea. So if the sons of Thor want to keep their country safe, they need to be as advocates of doing away with socialism. And you can't do away with socialism because you can't take people's right away to have a socialist state. But you need to do away with your need for socialism. This is what would set them free. And we don't seem to get that. we don't seem to understand that.
So anyway, we're talking about getting out of the mire and what to do, and I gave you some examples of stories earlier about people who were, you know, separated at birth, not just twins, but I mean a sister who was 6 years old had a sister, and they were separated at birth, and she never even knew she had this other sister that was just born. They never brought her home from the hospital or anything. She just didn't know it. And she went on to become a famous gymnast, won gold medals at 13 years of age for the American Olympics team. And at the same time, her sister, who didn't know anything about her, didn't know that she was even her sister, didn't know that neither one of them knew each other existed. She was adopted by a family out in the Midwest. But when she was 5 years old, she wanted to become a gymnast. And her parents got her a trampoline, and she learned to flip, and she eventually competed in high school, became the champion of her state competing in high school as a gymnast. Just had a passion for it. And lo and behold, because 6 years older than her, when her sister was 13, she'd be about seven, she saw her sister winning the gold medal. She didn't know it was her sister. She didn't know she was even related to her. But she became her idol. She wanted to be a gymnast like her. And, of course, she eventually did become a gymnast. Not quite like her, though. Because she had one, I'm not going to call it an infirmity, but she had kind of an obstacle to becoming a world-class gymnast. At least I would think it would be. She evidently didn't think it would be, and she went on to become, you know, a champion gymnast. And it was the reason why she wasn't brought home from the hospital. And the reason was is because she was born without any legs whatsoever. She had no legs. And yet she became a gymnast. Flipping all over the place. I still can't figure out how she's doing it. It's like magic. And anyway, she's a professional now. On stage. She has no legs. And she's good. She isn't just peculiar because she's doing this without legs. She's good at what she does. And now since then, she has discovered that that was her sister that was winning the gold medals. And they have gotten to know each other. And it's a miraculous story. I mean, you couldn't make it up. If you made it up, nobody would believe it. But it's true. And I gave the other story of, which is one of the heartwarming stories, where a lady gives away a child in high school because she can't raise it. Her parents talk her into it. She eventually marries the boy who was the father. They never can have children of their own. You know, 27 years later or whatever it is, 30 years later, she's got a business and she wants to turn it over to one of her employees, that she really loves this employee. And she finds out that this employee in the New York City with millions of people all around is her daughter. I mean, you wouldn't believe it on a soap opera. But that's her daughter. Has found her. Mysteriously. Miraculously. She doesn't know it's her mother. She doesn't know it's her daughter. But they found each other. And you don't believe that there's spiritual realms? Quantum realms that are connecting us? They are. So anyway, in the last show, I talked about how do we connect with the spiritual realms of people like Jesus, who did miracles, healed people, rose the people from the dead. How do we make that happen? How do we establish that in our lives? You know, just believe in Jesus? Well, that's true. That is true. That all you have to do is believe in Jesus, and that will be the case. But you don't really believe in the real Jesus now, do you? You have to believe in the real Jesus. You can't make him up. So what are you doing to believe in the real Jesus? How do you know if you're believing in the real Jesus? I mean, people tell you about him, and you believe in what they tell you, but then you're believing what they tell you. How do you believe in the real Jesus? How do you create that spiritual quantum relationship where you could, you know, if you hid Jesus in New York City, he was hiding somewhere in New York City, amongst millions and millions of people, disguised as somebody else, and you don't even know what he looks like, how do you find him? That girl found her mother, and the mother found the girl. How did they do that? There was definitely some sort of connection between the two sisters, both becoming, you know, champion gymnasts, one without legs, and the other one, she had her problems too, with her own father. Her father was the one who didn't want to take this legless girl home. And the younger sister, in some ways, is the real champion, in my opinion. I think the other one, I cannot take away from what she's done. She was remarkable. But they're, in my book, they're both got deserved medals of gold for the perseverance and the spirit that they move with. And I still, to this day, I know they can learn from each other. Each of them have gifts to share with each other. It's phenomenal. This is miraculous. What's going on in your life? Who's touching you? How close to the kingdom are you getting? Are you seeking the kingdom in the ways that Christ said? Because he was giving us lots of little clues. He actually gave us directives and told us what to do. But we haven't been following those. We got lots of Christian churches around, lots of people claiming to believe in Moses, lots of Jewish, you know, synagogues. They believe in Moses. Now, Jesus and Moses were in agreement. They were on the same page. They worshiped the same God. They actually had the same message all the time. Elijah, same message. Abraham, same message. They were the kingdom of God from generation to generation. They're all buddy-buddy. They're one part of one fold under God. Now, all the Jews today, all the Christians today, all the Muslims today who claim Abraham as a prophet, they're killing each other. You know, I mean, Catholics were killing Protestants and vice versa in Ireland. And, of course, during World War II, we had Germans that were supposedly Christians and French were killing each other and invading places like Belgium and all this kind of stuff. Because they don't really love Jesus. They don't really love God. They love the gods of the earth and the benefits that the gods of the earth could give them. And we need to repent of that. We need to turn around and go another way. And so that's how you get out of the mire. Now, somebody wrote, sent a question to me, and I know about it because of one of our ministers. Well, what all these people, the Teutons, the Jutes, the Celts, many of the Saxon tribes, all these guys did. Many of these tribes did was organize themselves in these tens, hundreds, and thousands. We see it in the Bible. We see the Jews doing it. Actually, the Christians did it as well. You know, you have 120 names in the upper room and 12 apostles. Why is that number? Why 120? Because there were 10 ministers that had picked, each one had picked one of the apostles. And now they're working as this network. And when they go out at Pentecost, they start organizing the people that are being baptized by the thousands, cast out of their welfare system that's run as a socialist state, because that's what Judea had become, a socialist state under Herod. You had to pay in, and then he provided the benefits. But now if you were kicked out of the synagogues and the temple, you were not going to get access to that welfare anymore, to that social security system, to their food stamps. They didn't have food stamps, but they had tesserae. These little clay tablets. You have one of those tablets, you could go to one of the depots, and you were... I mean, Rome was giving away bread in Judea. Of course, we know Rome, free bread and circuses. They were giving away bread and wine and cheese and money on a regular basis. They had to be organized to do this. They didn't just put all the money out in a pile and said, everybody come and get their share. They knew who you were because you had to identify yourself with things like tesserae. These little clay things that would identify you. Or titles. We have pictures of them up on the internet. Show you what they look like. This is your ID. Made out of clay instead of plastic. They hadn't invented plastic yet. But that's how you would go to a certain temple where you were registered, and you would show your tesserah, and you say, I'm so-and-so, and they'd say, okay, and this is your share of the free bread today. Or money, or cheese, or wine, or whatever it was that they were giving away. Oil, they'd give away oil, they'd give all. And every week there was some sort of giveaway. These were the, and if you were crippled, they would have guys who'd actually come and deliver bread to your house. You know, and that's what diaconesses were doing. Deacons. You know, I could show you the minutes of the meetings of the early church, and you know, they're saying those that shared, those who had, shared with those who didn't have enough. Exactly what John the Baptist said. And they did this in a network so you knew who was who, and you made sure everybody got enough food to get through any kind of famine or dearth or depression or whatever it was, shortage that came about. They made it through. Christians were thriving as the decline and fall of the Roman Empire came along. You guys are in a lot of trouble. Because when the grocery stores are emptied out, you're going to have to stand in government lines because you don't have any other lines. The church is a form of government that's based on faith, hope, and charity and love for one another. That love doesn't come because you joined some church or somebody dunked you in water. That comes because you're already developing a relationship of trust over a long period of time. And you need to be doing that in good times. Because it's going to be really hard in bad times. But that's what the early church was doing. That's what Christ was teaching them. They were already doing it to some degree because the Essenes were doing it. And the Essenes were saying things like, don't take oaths and don't covet your neighbor's goods. And all these same kind of things. The Pharisees said, oh, that's okay. You have to take oaths. Pharisees were requiring people to take oaths. You know, and swear allegiance. And then you could get benefits from the temple. And then they would see to it that you got those benefits. But they were weakening the people. So that, you know, I mean, parents would deny their own son who was blind and now he sees. And then he wants to profess Christ. If you profess Christ, you're going to be kicked out of the synagogue so that you can't come here anymore for benefits. But of course, he can see now, so he doesn't really need to. But his own parents say, we can't speak up because we'll be kicked out. And why were they worried? Because they're not going to get their Social Security check. They weren't going to get their welfare. They weren't going to, I mean, Social Security is welfare. It's just welfare for supposedly the aged. Although, you know, I'll lay you odds. I don't have the exact statistic, but from what I've come across, most of the people who get Social Security are not over 65. You'd be surprised where all the money goes. Everybody's, you know, they got the over 65 and over 50 vote because they're afraid they're going to lose their Social Security. They're going to lose it anyway. And they're going to lose it at one of the most inopportune times. And they got nothing else going for them. They maybe got a few friends. Maybe they stored up a bunch of freeze-dried foods. You know, I know somebody who had freeze-dried food stored up for his entire family. He had it all calculated out. This will last us for over a year, year and a half maybe. And then something drastic happened. I won't tell you what, but suddenly they had to depend on that. It wasn't the end of the world, but for them, they would have been a lot of trouble. You know? And it lasted them about 6 months, and it was all gone. Best laid plans of, you know, freeze-dried food doesn't go as far as regular food. It's kind of shrunk up, you know, it just doesn't, you know, those little packets, they just don't make it. He's not a big guy either, but it didn't make it for their family very long. And he realized, oh, that was a mistake. And then what do you do in a real disaster at the end of that? And what do you do when people come and steal everything you got? And what do you do if you have to leave town? What do you do if there's no gas to leave town, so you have to leave town on foot? How much freeze-dried stuff can you carry? You need a network of people who actually care and understand the way liberty works in a society. What do you do if they want to force your children to get vaccinations? What do you if somebody comes after you? You know, I got somebody who wrote the network, or at least wrote somebody on the network, and they want to ask a question because he wants to get his mail at General Post Office. And the General Post Office, the Post Office people are saying that they can refuse to give you that mail after 30 days because of the way it's written, it sounds like that's correct. It's not correct. It says that they don't have to keep it for more than 30 days. But if you get new mail, they have to give you that mail. Only at, you know, certain post office. Every post office doesn't have to handle general delivery. But most of them do. And it's in the codes. But he wants me to go stop everything and go look that up and send him the code. Now, I know there are people on the network that probably know that. And I have looked it up before for people and gave it to them. But I know that isn't the answer. That's you know, I don't know this guy at all, but that's a general sign of somebody who's out to save themselves. They have no sense of kingdom. Because they're trying to be free by, you know, some sort of general delivery postal trick. Now, I don't mind if somebody wants to get general delivery. I'm fine with that. And they don't want a post office box. But you're not dealing with reality if you think that that is your salvation. It's not. Any more than saying you believe in Jesus is your salvation. It's not. It's not those who say, Lord, Lord. Jesus said that. It's not those who say, Jesus, Jesus. It's those who doeth the will of the Father. What's the will of the Father? Well, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that a lot more when we come back to Keys of the Kingdom after this brief break. But I want you to think about it. What are you really doing? What are you really trying to accomplish? If you want to learn about the law, we got tons of information with footnotes. You can look it up. We've had attorneys in Washington, D.C. My own father was an attorney, look at a lot of this material. And they say, you know, I'm right. And they also tell me that they're not going to like you. And you know, there are people that will hate you. Of course, it goes with a job description. They hated Jesus. Jesus was talking about government most of the time, your relationship to it, and your relationships to everybody else. And if you straighten out your relationship to come into accord, one accord with Christ, you will have a chance at liberty under God. If you don't, you will not. But anyway, I said we're going to have a break, so let's take a break here. And then we'll be back and we'll start talking about something that you can actually start to do. We'll be right back. Okay, welcome back. So, in the last show, I was going through some questions that somebody put to me, and these questions came up because they had been studying, and we have a regular study every week on some of these books that you can call in for free and study with actual people who can sometimes answer your questions. If they can't, they can get a hold of somebody who can, and that's because they're networking with people who've put years and years into study, and the cost of the course, zero. We don't charge anything, but it will cost you something. It will cost you your delusions. That's what it will cost you, because it's about the truth. You can't sell the truth anyway, so we give it away, and we back it up. If people want to argue points, okay, go ahead. Let's give it a shot. We have a network that people can join, but that network is not for arguing. We have other groups, the Yahoo groups that we have. You can get on there and you can try to argue points, but we've done our research. We've done our homework, and we've made it all available in volumes and volumes of information that you don't need a passcode to get to. If you get through all that, you know, then we can give you some more information that isn't readily available to everybody. But you can get access to that right now if you form congregations that are trying to learn what it means to care about others as much as you care about yourself. These are free assemblies, these congregations, so you don't have to, you know, become some sort of written up member where you're in some kind of unincorporated association, and we explain in detail why you don't want to do that. because then you start diluting your personal rights. You cannot get your personal rights back by diluting other people's rights. You get your rights back by giving other people their rights back. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, people are always telling me, oh, I paid into the system, I have a right to collect. Well, you do have a right to collect. But you will not be free till you forgive them what they owe you. You have to give it back. You say, okay, yeah, you owe me this because of the fact, although technically they'll tell you they don't owe it, but that entitlement. You will not be forgiven unless you forgive that entitlement. Or at least work in a direction where you can do that. I don't want you to starve now, but you need to start building this other system that operates on faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty, because the one you got going for you now will fail. It's going to fail. So you need to start building one that is based on righteousness. This is why it says, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It isn't righteous to covet your neighbor's goods. So you have to create a system that is operating not on covetousness, not on exercising authority over your neighbor, but based on honor and love for one another and love for righteousness. You have to care about their rights. So that means you have to forgive the entitlement and say, okay, you don't owe me anymore. Now, in order to say that without starving today, you need to build the other system. And we can get you on the fast track for that. But then you have to really become like Christ. You have to follow the instructions of Christ. Or you can do it baby steps, a little at a time. Form that free assembly with other people and start learning what it means to be a free society. Maybe you don't want to be free. You know, it's like the guy in Matrix. You know, I don't remember what his name was, but he wanted to go back into the Matrix. He wanted to be reinserted back into the Matrix because he couldn't stand freedom. He didn't want it. He didn't like it. It was a lot of difficulty. His freedom is not free. So he wanted, and he betrayed his friends to go back in the Matrix. You know, it's a movie, but it's symbolically, it's telling you there's a lot of people who don't want to be free. And a lot of people don't want you to be free. And that's why they hate you if you actually started doing what is necessary to become free. And what is necessary to become free is to become like Christ, who came to serve, to sacrifice himself for others. Because he knew that if I sacrifice myself for others, then I will have life more abundant. If I am selfish, I will lose my life. That's just the way it works. I mean, that's just nature. You know, I mean, you can go out to the sheep in the field. And the sheep that don't sacrifice themselves and take care of their lambs and be attentive with the lambs and just want to go off and feed their own bellies, their existence is going to disappear out of the herd. They're going to die, and they're going to become coyote bait. Because all they care about is themselves. They don't care about the herd. They don't come together with the herd. They're the slow to come together with the herd because they don't care about them. And when the coyotes come into the field, guess which ones they get? They get the ones who don't come together easily. And this is why people lose their children and forced to take vaccinations and find themselves in trouble, because they didn't care about others as much as they care about themselves. Oh, they may have been really nice people, but you have to be like Christ. He was a lot more than just a nice guy. But anyway, in the book, one of the questions that came up, they read a particular part. We already went over some of the stuff that they included in their questions. I get thousands of emails a week. Everybody can't write me questions and expect me to answer. I try to answer every email, but I am just spread so thin, which is why they should go through the network and get to know other people. But, oh, that's so much trouble. I don't want to know other people. I just want the answers to my questions. Why should I answer you anything? If you don't want to lay down your life for others, you don't deserve to be free. The slothful should be under tribute. Slothful in what? Slothful in caring for others. And we were just reading in Deuteronomy 15. Oh, excuse me. Was that Deuteronomy 15 or was that Leviticus? I forgot now. Deuteronomy, yeah, 15. And explaining, and that was the whole thing about usury and years of jubilee and all that kind of stuff, how you're supposed to forgive them. And they go on, thou shalt, you know, when you send us out somebody who was your servant and you send them out to be free, that you should not send them out empty-handed. Thou shalt furnish them liberally out of thy flock, out of whatever, you know, maybe you're not a sheep herder, but out of whatever you have. Out of thy floor, it says. And then you have to go look at the Hebrew word for floor, and out of thy wine press. These are all metaphorical words that have other meanings. But the point is you don't send them out empty-handed. You give to him, you bless to him, as you would want God to bless you. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondsman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. Therefore I command thee this thing today. And he brings up this bondsman. You're a bondsman. And you're not in Egypt, you're in Australia or the United States or Canada, but you're all surety for debt. You know, and I'm not going to go, you know, rattle through a big long thing about birth certificates and all that kind of stuff. You're in debt. If you're a citizen of the United States and eligible for the benefits of the United States, you're also surety for the debt of the United States. Same in New Zealand, same in Australia, same in England, same in Norway, same in Sweden, same in Canada, same in Brazil. You're a human resource. You're collateral for the debt. And your leaders are not just leaders, they're not just titulars. They manage you as an asset of that society. And if you get bad leaders, you're in a lot of trouble. And most of you have bad leaders. But how do you get good leaders? Well, you're not going to get it in that system, because that system is based on offices of power. You can only find freedom in a society based on free will choice, not forced offerings. And this is what John the Baptist said, Abraham said, Moses said, Jesus said. But you still think you can love Jesus and force your neighbor to contribute to your free school, your free health care, your free social security, your free this and that. Well, but I pay in, but you don't pay in enough to cover the cost. But anyway, I write in Thy Kingdom Comes, the people ruled themselves. This is after they were set free, after they came out of the bondage of Egypt. They ruled themselves. They didn't rule each other like some sort of democracy. They ruled themselves. But the people voluntarily came together in a series of small groups, 10 families in a congregation. 10 elders of families would gather together to choose a representative who would stand in public service to those families. I mean, it's a government, right? So who's man in the government? There was no king. So who chooses to be the minister of the people? How do you get a minister of the people? I mean, Moses eventually died, so he wasn't doing it all the time. So who's doing it? The people. I mean, they're free will offerings. And you're a part of this assembly because you're making offerings. I mean, you have to give, what, a half shekel every year. That's a minimum. You know, that's like a dime. It might actually be closer to a half a dime as a half shekel. You had to give that in order to stay in the game. And then because of that token gift, then they say, well, you're part of this congregation. It's not an unincorporated association. It's still a free assembly. But you know who your minister is, and he knows who you are. Now, if you don't give anything else the rest of the year, then he can't do much, and he's not going to be interested in doing much, because he's got to go make his own living. And one of the questions I'll get to the questions in a minute, but go on here. This is your public government. It's taking care of the needs of society, because society has needs. And they were able to muster an army overnight. By what means? Well, they already had, you know, 10 families in a congregation, so all the eligible sons in that congregation were part of the militia. I mean, you're part of the militia in the United States. Every man between the ages of 17 and 45 is the militia. That's the U.S. codes. You're the militia. You don't have to join anything. You just have to be between 17 and 45. And you qualify as the militia. That's just you don't have to be a part of the National Guard or anything. I mean, that's in the U.S. codes. I'm not making it up. You can go look it up. And, of course, if you were a part of a congregation, you were part of the militia. So if you were attacked, that congregation, you know everybody. You see everybody almost every week. Your father helps your grandfather, and your grandfather helped his father, and you've been helping each other for generations, and you've got all these family bonds, and I mean, your sister's married to so-and-so, and your cousin's married to so-and-so, and you're bound together all over the place because, you know, people are marrying distant places because of the fact that they would get together twice a year at Feast of Tabernacles and Feast of Pentecost. And they would meet other girls and guys, and they would get married. And now you're binding through blood and marriage people all over the nation. So that when the guys in the Northeast are invaded, you go because that's where your grandkids are. And because you go, all your buddies in your congregation goes. And they formed a viable government to faith, hope, and charity, because all the offerings were free will offerings. You don't have that in Australia. You don't have that in England. You don't have that in New Zealand. You don't have that in Canada. In those places, people get raped in the streets and nobody comes to their aid. Now, there's actually stories in the Bible where such a thing happened, where nobody came to their aid. But they had degenerated because of affluence. You won't have that problem in the future. At least not for a while. Because your affluence is going out the window rapidly. Thieves and robbers have broken into your treasury and it's empty. And all your countries are operating in the red. And they're not going to be operating in the black. So anyway, these 10 elders of families would gather together and choose a representative, not a lawmaker, who would stand in public service to those families. 10 of these administrators, in turn, would choose a standing leader of administrators. These were the elders or princes of the tribes. But that's all voluntary from the bottom up. If they change their mind, they can change their mind. And these aren't lawmakers. These men can't exercise authority. They can't say, okay, you guys have to pay this much. The only reason you give to them is they're doing a good job as servants. Can you imagine having a government where if you went into the government office and you said you didn't like the way they did the job that you asked them to do, you could say, well, I'm not sending anything to you guys anymore. I think you're a bunch of screw-ups, and I don't think you're working hard enough here. And I didn't get any satisfaction, so I'm not even going to send you guys a dime. I'm going to find somebody else who will do the job. It would never get as bad as it's getting in your country, unless you decided to have a ruler who could appoint men from the top down, which, of course, they stupidly did in Israel. It was the end of things, you know, the whole Samuel 8 thing. 10 of these administrators turned and chose someone else to be their administrator. These were the elders and princes of the tribe, eventually a nation, because this pattern repeated itself. The same pattern was repeated with those men called the Levites, who provided a network of charitable ministration to the tents of the congregations of families. They didn't just serve people that were in congregations, though. They even served the stranger in their midst when there was need. Of course, preferentially, they may do more work for the people that were donating, etc. See, right now, you can have people come into your country, foreigners who've never contributed anything, and they can go straight on to welfare. They can get all their hospital bills paid. They don't have to get a job. They can, you know, say, well, I can't get a job. You know, help me out. And they help them out. Well, you have to go to work. You don't have any say-so over who gets what. I mean, they could be murderers, rapists, what have you. They're still going to get that check. They're still going to get medical coverage. And you can't say anything about it because you don't live in a free society. You live in a society with top-down power. You have some sort of pretend election, but it doesn't take you very far. You really think you're making a choice? Go ahead. It's your delusion. So families of these congregations are start binding themselves together because they actually are providing a service for one another, caring about one another, showing up. It's like AA. You're all addicted to benefits. And now you have to stand up and say, "Hi, I'm Steve. I'm addicted to benefits. But I'm here to try to kick the habit. That I'm not going to look to benefactors to exercise authority. I'm going to look to you guys. And to show my good faith, I'm going to help you guys out. If any of you guys need help, I'm here for you." You want to see how fast depression ends in a congregation like that? You're not going to have time to be depressed. You can get off your depression meds right away. This whole thing is an amazing concept in government, where no employed minister could get paid unless his constituents thought he was doing a service, maintaining a secure society. Those ministers were directly answerable to at least 10 constituents. Yet they were autonomous representatives of the nation. They were only representatives. They were titular. This is why Israel was called a republic, because the leaders were actually titular. They couldn't make laws. Now, the question that came up during all this is, were the administrators and Levites both paid positions in the Israelite organization? The administrators were the Levites. The Levites were the administrators. That's the same thing. Although the Levites did hire some other people that they did pay to perform certain tasks, the Levites themselves were not poor. They had lands they held in common. They had flocks they held in common. They had homes that they literally held a legal title to. But if they sold it, any Levite could come and redeem it back because they didn't have clear title to it. I could tell you all kinds of stuff on that basic point alone, and we talked about it more in the last show, but I'm not going to tell you what that means today. I told you that the guys lending you money, Federal Reserve, all this stuff, they're following these rules up here. They don't have to forgive your debt because they think you're foreigners to God. They think they're serving God. Now, I don't think they are, but in their heads, they think they can do what they're doing with impunity because they think they are the chosen people. They aren't. They're deluded. But you're not giving them any evidence of that delusion because you're not the people of God. How do I know you're not the people of God? Because you don't take care of one another through faith, hope, and charity. You don't practice pure religion. You practice a religion spotted by the world because you don't take care of all your elderly, all your social welfare needs of your community through faith, hope, and charity. You constantly go and depend upon those benefactors who exercise authority. And so therefore, you are one who exercises authority. Therefore, you cannot be free. You will always be careful you do not bite one another, it says in the New Testament, lest ye be devoured. You've been biting one another. So you are devoured. These aren't salaried positions. They give to you, but the Israelite Levites were not broke. They weren't mendicant. They had no personal estate. They owned all things in common, but they had a system and they lived within that system. And they probably didn't need to administer to you at all in order to get by. But they chose to do it because the stronger you were, the safer they were. The healthier your families were, the healthier you are their Social Security. You're the guys that will help them if they need help. They knew they had to come together. In those days, you could be invaded. We become totally apathetic. We didn't think we could be invaded. Germany thought it couldn't be invaded. It's invaded. Norway thought it couldn't be invaded. It's invaded. Sweden thought it couldn't be invaded. France thought it couldn't be invaded because they are part of the United Nations and New World Order and all this stuff. They're being invaded. You see it on the news. Figure it out. They're being invaded by people that are invited in to invade them. America is starting to feel that invasion. It's going to have actually several series of invasions. And it's all spelled out in prophecy. And I could go through all that with you, but why? Why tell you if you're not going to do the basics? If you're not going to repent and seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness by coming together and creating free assemblies that actually love one another as Christ loved you by sacrificing Himself for you, and you won't sacrifice yourself for anybody else. You just want to know how to get my mail without, you know, with general delivery. Where is that? Now, I don't want to pick on that guy, but you know, I sent him a notice just before we started the show, and maybe he heard it, maybe he's listening. You got to follow Christ if you want to be free. You don't. Jesus died that you might be saved. Thinking a thought isn't enough. You have to actually leave what you've been doing and start doing what He said to do. Just like the prodigal son left what he was doing and started to come back to be a servant in his father's house. That's what you need to do. If you won't do that, you won't be free. That's just the way it works. In order to be forgiven your iniquities, you have to forgive others, including the Federal Reserve, Social Security, the New World Order. Yeah, forgive them. They know not what they do. They don't know what they're doing. They're crazy. They think that this, I mean, we've tried this Babylonic system time and time again. It's always failed. And it's going to fail again. But in the meantime, a lot of you are getting, you know, injured. And a lot of your children are going to be injured. And it's going to get worse and worse and worse. Because you're not coming together and practicing. You know, you're not practicing what a free society needs to know how to do. You need to know how, even in a time of affluence, how to care for one another and strengthen the poor. Strengthen one another. Not make one another weak. So anyway, they wanted me to show what scripture to show that had the 10 elders chose an administrator to represent them. That administrator is the Levite. That is their Levite minister. These aren't separate offices. That's what the Levite was doing. He was serving, and we went through this, that they are serving the tents of the tabernacle. They had places in every city, every town, every village. They had lands in common all over Israel. They weren't just waiting in this big gigantic tabernacle, but they were serving the tents of the congregation, which that you see translated most often as tabernacles, but it's the same word, tents, tabernacle, same thing. Because each of you, and really, it doesn't even have to be houses or tents. We're talking about you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And your ministers should serve your desire to live like the Holy Spirit wants you to live. And He is to help you do that by putting you in contact with people who really have needs and they're not faking it, and connect your desire to be charitable with the people who need it the most, just like a human body. The blood gets it where it needs to go through a circulatory system. You know, when you're running, it gets it down to your legs. When you're swimming, it gets it to your lungs. And, you know, wherever it's needed. And they are to facilitate that. They aren't your comforter. Your comforter is the Holy Spirit. You have to be diligent in the ways of God. Diligent in the ways of Christ. Diligent in picking what minister you're going to pick. That's your job. And you have to do it well. And you can change anytime you want. You can't do it in the systems of the world. Once you're in, you're a surety for debt. They're running things. They're the lawmakers. They're controlling. They're pulling the strings. You don't have any choice. But I'm out of time. So we'll have to continue this till next time. And till then, may peace be upon your house, and may God be with you. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.